أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين. That is, with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. All praise is due to Allah. I praise him, I seek his assistance, I seek his guidance, and I ask for his forgiveness. Alhamdulillah, maduhu, wasta'inuhu, wasta'dihi, wasta'filarahu. Ashhadu la ilaha illallah la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu rasuluhu. It is, I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, the one who has no partner. And I bear witness that Muhammad is his servant and his messenger. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala khairil mursalin Muhammadin wa alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. That is, all praise due to Allah. We ask Allah's peace and blessings be on the one, the best among the prophets, Muhammad, as well as on his family and his companions. Ameen. We seek refuge with Allah from our own weaknesses, faults, and errors. All praise due to Allah, who sent down upon us his book most clear and later revealed in the last ayat. This day I have completed for you your way of life and completed my blessing and favor upon you and chose al-Islam as your way of life. I advise you, as well as I advise myself first, to have regard, taqwa, awareness, consciousness for Allah the Most High, and obey him. Dear Muslim believers, again I greet you. Assalamu alaikum. And I greet you Juma Mubarak. And nice to see you. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. I don't know if I want to use this one for the translation, but I'm going to use this one. Wa ikimi salata Talarafayi and Nahari Wazulan Fen Minel Min A Aleli Minna Ahsabnati Yuthina Asayyati Thalika Thikra Ya Lathakina. And the translation is as follows, and I just read the words. I didn't necessarily read it in the recitation style. I think that was important today. I say, I seek refuge with Allah against the shaitan and reject it, and establish the prayer at the two ends of the day and in the first hours of the night. Indeed, the good deeds drive away the evil deeds. This is a reminder for those who are mindful of their Creator, of Allah, of their Lord. That is the 114th ayat of the 11th chapter, Surah, in the Quran, and we say, surely Allah speaks the truth, Salak Allah Wadeen. Today's Khutbah title, inshallah, is The Benefits of Standing Up for Salat, Prayer. The Benefits of Standing Up for Salat. In a report of Hadith of Muhammad by Abdullah ibn Qart, may Allah be pleased with him, he related that the Messenger of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, prayers and the peace be upon him, he said the first act of that the servant will be accountable for on the day of judgment will be prayer. If it is good, then the rest of his acts will be good. If it is evil or bad, then the rest of his acts will be evil. On another report of Hadith of Muhammad, he is to have said, and this is from, I'll bring this up later, but Hadith Qudsi, says, have taqwa, awareness, consciousness of Allah wherever you may be, and follow up a bad deed with a good deed, which will wipe it out, and behave well towards people. I even got one more. The Prophet, peace be upon him, said, verily between man and idolatry and unbelief is the abandoning of prayer. So let me first say that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought Muhammad, so the peace and blessings be upon him, on the ascension, when he took him on the ascension, he gave him the commandment of salat. And Allah gave Muhammad, he gave him 50 prayers. 50 prayers. for Muhammad and the followers of Muhammad. And as the prophet was descending down, he passed by Prophet Musa, as we know in the Quran, alayhi salam, who requested to know what had been commanded. When Muhammad explained that he had been ordered to pray 50 times a day, Musa felt astonished and immediately told him, "Now go back to your Lord and ask for a reduction." When Allah prescribed prayers, Muhammad had accepted it, but Moses, having been a great prophet himself and knew what from his followers, what people could and couldn't handle as far as religious obligations, he was sure that the followers of Muhammad would not be able to perform that many prayers. So Prophet Muhammad accepted the advice of his brother in the prophethood, and he went back to the presence of Allah and he asked for a reduction. Allah reduced him by 10 to 40. And then Muhammad descended again, and Prophet Moses asked him again, he said, "What happened?" And we heard the reduction of only 10. He said, "No." He said, "You need to go back. This is not good enough." And the exchange went on a few more times until the number of the obligatory prayers that we have on us are 5. And Prophet Moses even said then to Muhammad, "I know people. So your nation will not be able to handle it. Go back and ask for the burden on your people to be relieved." And this time, Prophet Muhammad, he answered no. He said he felt ashamed to ask for another reduction, so he was satisfied with the 5 daily prayers. And as soon as he did that, a voice rang out saying, "The prayers have been reduced to 5, but they will be rewarded as though they are 50. Allah makes it clear to us that even praying these 5 prayers can be difficult for some people. It's not going to be easy. But that those who establish the connection and trust, they will one day meet their Lord and find it easy. So as we look at today's selection from the Quran that I've chosen, the start of it, Allah is telling us at the end of the ayat, he says, "Thalika thikra lith thakirin." This is a reminder for those who are mindful of Allah. And one reason we have Jummah is to be reminded as a group and as a person. And one reason why we have the Quran in our possession is to be reminded as a person and a group. And one reason why we have Muhammad as our prophet is to be reminded for all humanity. That's everything. So everything, all these are reminders for us as a person and as a group. And the basis of what I want to bring today and every time that I'm on the Rasham is to help with the reminder that we all need. And this is why I mentioned that the end of the ayat first. And when the ayat opens, Allah, highly glorified as He, is commanding us. And I always feel commands are not just something we should read over lightly, but something that should get our full attention. Allah says, "Wa ikimi," and establish, and establish. This is the same word when we say ikama. The same word. It's the same word, ikama. And in this we know to stand up for salat, come to salat. We hear ikama. Even if you're playing sunnah and you hear the ikama, you should close out your sunnah and come make the obligatory prayer. That's how powerful the ikama is. And in this we know to stand up for the salat, to come to salat. But in this word in the root, it also means to rise, to be lively. And it also means to come back to life. And when we're looking at this, we need to understand this is Allah commanding us to come back to the life He created us for. The prayer, we know, can look at it. Let me back up before I go there. And when we think about the command to come to prayer and to come to that life, we think about what follows it in this ayat. And he says, as-salata, the prayer. Now, we can look at it, you know, there is something to go with the command now. The command was to come, to get up, to come to life. And now there's something to go with the command, and that's the salat. And we have a subject of the verb, now we have an object of the verb in the grammar. And the command is form one, it means it's declarative. And this is a statement made by Allah that it's a declaration. It is telling us to stand up not just in our physical forms, but to come back to life in our natural states as well. And this esselata, it means more than just prayer. The form of the prayer is a ritual, it's the function. And the prophet, peace be upon him, he said, the one who makes light of his prayers does not belong to me. So this tells us that we are not just to make this a symbolic function. It is not to be just a show. And Allah says in the Quran, so woe to the worshipers who are neglectful of their prayers, those who want to be seen. We are not to treat this as anything but one of the ways to we are to remember Allah and be conscious of Allah. This is the warning against just standing up because, you know, I'm going to stand up just because I'm Muslim and it's what I'm supposed to do. That is of little remembrance of Allah. That's not the purpose of the salat. And this word also means to be upright. So here we are commanded by Allah to stand up literally and figuratively. Stand up in our nature, and once we have stood up, then we are to be upright. And let me end this first part. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhabannar. Amin. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. The benefits of standing up for salat. Now, when we're thinking of being upright, you know, for me, I think of Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. You know, Abraham in scripture. You know, our second father comes to my mind. And the word mind, I use the word mind for a reason. He is our father of rational thought. It was this inside of him that is our sign to learn from. He was upright in his nature because he used his mind first to find his creator. The more he opened his mind up to seek Allah, the more he became firmer in his nature. So if we are to stand up to be upright, this means we have to become stronger in that same nature. You know, we can end up alone and this command is still there. This command is still there regardless if you're in a group of 5,000 or a group of one. And we know that in our salat we get 27 more times blessings if we do it as a group. 27 times more credit. That's a better word to say. If we are praying together. And that is the community obligation. And today in Juma, we all have an opportunity to gain those credits. But if we stand up and are neglectful inside of our thinking, inside of our mind, inside of our actions, or we're just standing up because we want to be, you know, as they say, in that number. I just want to be in that number. Then Allah does not bless us. The Iqamah is not just for those five salats that we are mandated to do. And the use of mandate. I use mandate because Allah has given first Muhammad, peace be upon him, the authority to act a certain way. That's a mandate. He has given Muhammad as our example, and then we are mandated to act a certain way. We are being told to stand up and be upright. We are to both follow Muhammad, and we are to work on ourselves to move up that ladder, as I mentioned with the ascension. And to get to the level of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Doing this achieves the level of Muhammad. You have to go through all seven to get to where Muhammad is. And each prophet is a level. Each characteristic is a level of our development. And we gain something on each one of them. Then at the top is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And after that, once we've got that, then after that, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he led all the prayers, all the prophets in Salat, right? That's the symbol of that. All of those characteristics, once they're fulfilled, then Muhammad leads them in Salat. Again, if we can get out of each level in the ascension, something out of each level that develops us, and we end up truly being followers of Muhammad. And is he not a great example of someone who established himself through Salat? Was he not righteous? Was he not sound?
His judgment, his actions were sound. He was honest. These are all the meanings of Selah. All these words are meanings of Selah. This is what we have been commanded to establish. It is the ritual of the physical Selah that helps us establish the spiritual Selah. And you know, in the Bible it says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. And we understand this to mean that it's not just one person, but the whole. As a community, the spirit has ups and downs, motivated for some things and not motivated for some other things. And based on our imam and teacher, Imam W.D. Muhammad, we know that scriptural language has a deeper meaning. And the Quran is a conclusion and a correction for previous scriptures. The body is not you and me physically. It is a group as a whole. It is the body that holds us back sometimes. Look at this country. Now, we can see a new spirit of togetherness and a willing to work for and fight the evil that we're facing. But it's the body of the whole that's holding us back. And what do they call the legislators? The body, right? The body, correct? It's not by accident. It's not by accident. It is the governing body, right? And we know that the body in the physical form is not weak. It is the vessel that holds our spirit. It is under the command of its owner. You know, Imam Muhammad, he said that the body is the first Muslim. And in the tradition of Muhammad, peace be upon him, when a funeral came by, you know, came past him and his companions, they were sitting. And Muhammad got up as they went by. And he was not one to get up for anybody or ask anybody to get up for him. So his companions were shocked and asked him, well, why did you get up? And he said, the body never disobeyed its owner. The flesh is not the problem. It is the spirit inside of the flesh that makes decisions. And let me say this also in the Quran, because I don't want to just say, oh, well, you know, he, especially since we have a guest, so he threw the Bible out there and, you know, one thing. But the Quran says, Allah says in the Quran, and Allah wants to lighten for you your difficulties, your burden, and mankind was created weak. Now, this is what it says in the Quran, right? This is insana, right? It's that base creation. All of mankind was insane. Insana, right? This is where we all start at. But it is not to be created weak. It's just to be created to get stronger. There's no weakness in insana, but it's created to be able to get stronger. The baby doesn't come here grown. It's out of the experiences that it happens in different stages of development that helps the baby grow. That's insana is the same way. We go from insana and we can develop all the way to Basha. And we have been taught to get away from thinking there is anything inferior or negative about our creation. It is our own doing if we stay or become weak. That's what it's saying. If we become weak-minded, even if we can lift 500 pounds, we can still be weak-minded. Also, this is saying the community as a whole. We should look at it like this as well. Remember, it is the body as a whole that holds us back in mankind. Not the physical body, but the larger collection of minds. We can make ourselves weak. Can we see that in today's world? How not standing up in our natures has made the body as a whole weak? The spirit inside of us has been commanded to stand up in our nature, and we're created for one purpose. Allah says, and did I not create jinn and men except for the worship of me? This is our job description. If we have been created to worship Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, why will we be weak in our creation? No, it is the fact that we are to worship Allah that makes us gain strength. It is in that that we do not allow ourselves to become weak. What's the opposite of right? Wrong. The opposite of standing up, sitting down. The opposite of honest, insincere. All the word for salat in this meaning is to be honest. These words come to be honest. And if we have to be honest with ourselves when we're trying to stand up and establish the salat in our lives. Because Allah is all-knowing. He already knows if we're standing up just to be seen or we're standing up because we're trying to be stronger. He knows the difference. What other purpose could we have other than for our own benefits, to gain from our own benefits? This is what Allah tells us. He's in no need of anything we can give him. There's nothing we can do for Allah. Everything we do is for our benefits from Allah. It is not for him, Allah, you know, that we make ourselves stand up. That we make ourselves try to be right. That we try to be honest. That we try to be sincere. We try to live upright. That's all for us. It's not for Allah. When we hear the Iqamah, it should be that catalyst. The Adhan is calling us to life, right? It's calling us to success. It's calling us to reform. And that happens the moment we submit everything that is going on and remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't forget, this is all for those who are the remembering ones. Dhikr. Remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, verily between a man and idolatry and unbelief is abandoning the prayer. When we see the word idolatry, we don't just think about all those idols that was inside the Kaaba. We think of anything that takes us away from our form and from our created destiny. You know, the word means ungodliness. It means we worship something besides our Creator. That makes us weak. Whatever we have that doesn't make us stronger in our nature must make us weak. Abandoning our salat brings us closer to unbelief. And if we're not thinking about Allah, remembering Allah, then we are abandoning our orders. You know, a command is an order. It doesn't matter if you use it as a verb or a noun. When you look at it, it's an order. It's an order from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is an instruction that if we desire to raise up in our natures, then we must rise up and be righteous, be honest, be mindful of Allah. You know, Muhammad defines prayer as your natural life's discipline given to you by your Creator. Your natural life's discipline given to you by your Creator. It is what is inside of us that is naturally going to have us connect with Allah. Taqwa. It is what we can rely on when we have stood up. This is what makes us feel right. This way of life should fit. It should feel like a silk glove on our hand. It shouldn't be no tussle to do this. If you say this is what you want, this is what you believe, and you're trying. It shouldn't be, it's going to be a struggle. Don't let me act like it's not. But it should feel like a struggle that's worth it. It should feel like it's worth it. Like this is the struggle that I want. When it does, we can do things that don't seem out of the ordinary because it's just our nature. Muhammad, peace be upon him, is reported to have said in Hadith Qudsi, he said, your Lord delights at a shepherd who, on the peak of a mountain, goes to give the call, the prayer, and then prays. Then Allah says, look at this servant of mine. He calls the prayer and performs the prayers. He is in awe of me, and I have forgiven my servant and admitted him to paradise. Now, he didn't say I caused my servants to leave this earth and brought him to paradise. He said, I admitted him to paradise. That paradise could be right then and there. You don't have to leave this life to get paradise. Let me say that. A mountain is symbolic. When we think about this mountain, a mountain is symbolic for elevation and prominence. Don't just think about, you know, a mountain. I was in Charlotte last week and attended the Moral Summit. Summit. A mountain is a summit. It's a place where we have everything we desire materially, you know, where we've established ourselves. You know, we run companies or have a life where we're in charge of something, oversee something, right? You know, a shepherd is over a flock. And it is to guide something in a direction. Now, these are all symbols for us to understand the meaning of understanding the importance of actually being in awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we know that not many of us are going to go have goats and walk around with a staff. We know that. But I will say that it's a good business to have a halal meat business. I'm going to say that. So it ain't nothing to look down on. But I don't think none of us are going to go out into in one of these woods in North Carolina and start raising goats. I know that. But we all are shepherds over our lives. We all are shepherds in some way. And just think of why the word shepherd is being used. Look at the significance of that. But I'm just saying, when we look at shepherd, especially in scripture, the symbolic nature of it. But the point being that we have to decide that regardless of our position we're in, we have to have the law first. This is the most important thing to remember. We are trying to stand up and be right. And we must put a law first, right? Another reported hadith from the Hadith Qudsi, and we know that Hadith Qudsi, this is Muhammad speaking for Allah, not Quran, but it's Allah allowing Muhammad to speak for him. And he says, Allah Almighty has said, I have divided prayer between myself and my servants into two halves, and my servant shall have what he asks for. When the servant says, all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of all the worlds, all the systems of knowledge. Allah says, my servant has praised me when he says, the gracious, most merciful. Allah says, my servant has exalted me when he says, the master of the day of judgment. Allah says, my servant has glorified me and my servant has submitted to me when he says, you alone we worship and you alone we seek help. Allah says, this is between me and my servant will have what he asks for. When he says, guide us to the straight path, not the path of those who you have favored, but not those who have gone astray. Allah says, this is for my servant, and my servant will have what he has asked for. Now, this is the opening of the Quran, the Al-Fatiha. That's the Al-Fatiha. Sometimes, you know, you have to hear it in English, too, sometimes, you know. The Al-Fatiha. No prayer is valid without saying the Al-Fatiha. You can skip the second surah, ayahs on the second part, but if you don't say the Al-Fatiha, it's not valid. Can you see how powerful just the opening of the Quran is? It is a book of prayer. It is the opening and it is answered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Before we can say it, we have to be able to stand up in ourselves. We have to stand up for ourselves. This is for our benefit. We must be able to look at ourselves and hear the Iqama and understand that this is our strength. This is for our strength. It is for our benefit. Yes, we could be making prayer to ask for something, but that can only come after you perform the ritual slide. You can't say the Al-Fatiha and then start begging. You can't. You have to go through the whole ritual prayer. You have to taslim out. Then you can start your begging. That's designed because it's only for worshiping Allah. Because the only thing we can say during that is from the Quran. The asking for what we want is after. The dua we ask Allah is after we do that. But to get to that point, we must have been responding to the call of life, to the call to stand up. That's what this world needs right now. That's what Bilal symbolizes, Rodney Lyon, who? He just didn't call the prayer then. He's still calling the prayer now. We have to decide we want to stand up in ourselves and put Allah first. And if we get right, then putting Allah in our thoughts, in our actions, does not seem harder. It gets easier. And as I close, stand up for Salat. Establish the Salat inside and outside. And you know, I've only gotten to two words of this ayat. Two words. And be honest with you, that's not what drew me to the ayat. But that's how Allah is. That's how Allah guides. He just took me and I went. Now, inshallah, the rest of it's coming. The first thing we have to understand as a body and as a mind is that there are benefits in standing up for Salat. Now, inshallah, I have given something to the benefit today, which all praise due to Allah. And if there's any errors, of course, I am responsible for, because Allah is perfect.